O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. We turn to our first praise, Psalm number 20, and we're singing verses 1 to 5 to the tune Humility. Psalm 20, verses 1 to 5, and the tune is Humility. Jehovah hear thee in the day, when trouble he doth send, and let the name of Jacob's God thee from all will defend. Psalm 20, verses 1 through to verse 5.
Jehovah,
we turn for our scriptural reading to Psalm number 1. Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of ungodly shall perish. Amen. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his precious and holy word. Let us now come to the Lord in prayer. O gracious God, we bow our hearts before thee, and we would pray that thou would remember us in thy mercy and in thy favour. O let thy tender mercies come, O Lord, and revive our hearts this day. We come unto thee, thou art a great God, thou art clothed with majesty. What praise is being offered in heaven unto thee, we here upon earth would join in, for thou art worthy. Unto thee, O Lord, be the glory. O gracious God, we come with care, and that due respect, we come penitently, for we are sinners, and we would seek that forgiveness afresh, O Heavenly Father, we pray. Help us now as we turn to thee. Lord, we feel our sin. O Lord, we are grieved. But we thank thee there is forgiveness with thee, and may we know the preciousness of it. And in response, may we have this greater awe of thee in our hearts. We thank thee for our blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessings in and through him. Oh, what blessings they are. Life. Oh, and so many other things. Oh, support and care. Oh, we bless thee for these blessings through him. As we turn to thee now, O Lord, help us as we turn to thy word as well. Speak to us through thy word. O Lord, do us good, we pray. May we know that strengthening through thy word. May the Holy Spirit come and take the word, we beseech thee. Help in the preaching, O Lord, this day. We then turn unto thee this day. Remember us now. Remember us as a congregation in our homes and others, friends, listening on. Be with them as well. So, Lord, we come. We worship thee. We adore thee. Hear us now for Christ's sake. Amen. This week, we continue on in our studies in Psalm 119, and we come to verse 77 and verse 78. Psalm 119, verse 77 and verse 78. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they that dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. Dear congregation, as we have already read today, in the opening part of Psalm 1, we read, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We take note there of the blessed man, the God-fearer. Though not perfect, he seeks to walk in a right way, glorifying the Lord. His true delight is not in the ways of unrighteousness, but in God's law, which he draws back to again and again in his mind. There are the marks of grace. There is love for the Lord. There is holy desire. And as we see in verse 2 of Psalm 1, there is holy delight and holy meditation. Now the one who knows a little of that delight within can use it as a plea before the Lord. And that's what we see here in verse 77. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. He delights in God's word. And as we see in verse 78, he also meditates thereon. Well, particularly coming to verse 77 today, we consider this plea. Oh, this plea. And he makes the plea, and an argument for it is that he delights in God's word. Well, let us now come directly to these words. First of all, a plea at the throne of grace. Secondly, a plea for mercy. And next week, the Lord willing, as we come on to verse 78, a plea for justice and then a holy resolution. Well, today we come to verse 77. First of all, a plea at the throne of grace. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Now the psalmist here prays that God's mercy would be known, that he might live. He desires that he be spared at this present time. There were his enemies, we note in verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed. There were his enemies who opposed him, who were against him. And he desires that his life would be spared. But particularly here, he desires the reviving of his soul. This seems to be the chief consideration in the mind of the psalmist. He has life, but oh, for a reviving, a strengthening, a lifting up. He has spiritual life, but he's weary, as we note in verse 81 through to verse 83. He desires this reviving, this quickening, as we note so often here in this psalm. Note verse 88, quicken me after thy loving kindness. John Gill writes here, it seems to design the lively exercise of grace. He desires that quickening, that reviving, that he may be found so focusing on the Lord and loving him, having hope within. Now he prays, as we will see in a moment, that the Lord's tender mercies would come unto him. Well, as he makes this prayer, he makes a plea. And that's what we have at the end of verse 77. For thy law is my delight. Not because of my action, but here is an evidence that I belong to thee, that I am a child of God. For thy law is my delight. Dear brothers and sisters, we make our plea. We present arguments to the Lord. I delight in thy law. Though I struggle and I may find myself weary at this present time, in this evening hour, I do delight. I know a little of what it is to delight in thy word. I look back, there have been times when I have been found delighting in thy word. There is grace in my life. There is this mark of grace, O Lord. Reason with the Lord as you make your plea. Say to him, I delight in thy word. I'm in the family. I belong to thee. O Lord, thy word reveals that I am an object of thy special favour and mercy. You see the psalmist here, as he prays, he's making his plea. It's good to do that, dear brothers and sisters. Make your plea. I am a child of God. I do delight in thy word. There is this mark of grace within my heart. Listen to Charles Bridge commenting on these words at the end of verse 77. I venture to plead my delight in thy law as an evidence of my adoption into thy family. It will furnish a plea for our use at the throne of grace. Now we are to make our way this evening hour to the throne of grace. We particularly at the midweek meeting turn to the Lord in prayer. As you do so in your homes tonight, make this plea, dear child of God. I do delight in thy word. Make your way to the throne of grace and take comfort. For there is, as Spurgeon wrote, a welcome guaranteed. A welcome guaranteed. Now let's consider his plea. For thy law is my delight. Yes, we could consider others who are found rejoicing in God's word. But then we come to ourselves. Yes, I have known, at least to some measure, what it is to delight in thy law. For thy law is my delight. I find comfort in thy word, as we note there in verse 76. Here I find delight. I do find delight, O Lord. There is this mark of grace in my life. Therefore let thy tender mercies come unto me. It's my delight. Well, let's just pause and consider how the word of God is our delight, and in this it helps us to further consider other marks of grace. It also is an aid to assurance, as we will note in a moment. My delight, first of all, it tells me of God. It tells me of God. We read in John 6, verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. were taught of God through the Word. And we've heard and we've learned of the Father. We learn of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And oh, what a blessing it is to have learned to know and to know Him. Oh, consider God, our great God. Are we not blessed that we are in a fellowship with Him? Does this not bring us a measure of joy? At least some measure of joy? We know God this day. Oh, what a blessing that is. It's a joy, isn't it? Because we come to this book and we read it as a letter from our gracious God, from our loving Saviour. Oh, we read it and it does us good. And we've considered often how the Word of God has blessed us in this 119th Psalm. It comforts us because it's the comfort of the Lord. Oh, we know God. And the Word of God reveals to us our gracious God. It's our delight, isn't it? Consider those words in Micah 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee? There's Micah. He's considering the Lord. He's under inspiration there. He's considering the Lord. And we read there those words. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? And passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Oh, it brings us joy as we consider this character of God. He delights in mercy. He delights to pardon. Who is a God like unto thee? Oh, it has brought us joy, hasn't it? To consider God in the Word. What he is like and what he does. It tells me of Jesus. Oh, we can truly say, for thy law is my delight. It tells me of God. It tells me of Jesus, who is God, my precious Saviour, my altogether lovely friend. You recall, as we noted a few weeks ago, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus opened up the scriptures concerning himself. Luke 24, verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He began with Moses, Genesis, and he goes through the scriptures. In Genesis, he would have directed them to himself as the one walking in the garden. Genesis 3 verse 8. The seed of the woman. Genesis 3 verse 15. Oh, going through, he's the Shiloh, the one that would come. Job could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and our Lord would have pointed those two to those words. Then we come to the Psalms, so full of Christ. Christ the King, the covenant of grace, the incarnation, his public ministry, his sufferings and death, his resurrection, his ascension, his reign, his coming again. His care, his delight in his people. Oh, oh, we're taught of him as we read the Psalms and sing the Psalms. The Song of Solomon, how he would have directed them to the Song of Solomon as well as the Psalms. My beloved, how he supports, how he assures. Well, on we could go. Yea, he is altogether lovely. He would have directed them to Isaiah. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, what a sermon that would have been on the road to Emmaus. And does it not bring us delight and joy when we read of our Saviour? Just go back to Isaiah 9 verse 6. How many have known joy in their souls as they have heard those words, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's wonderful, isn't he? My precious Saviour is wonderful. Just think of that now. Do you find a little joy arising up in your heart? He's wonderful. There's no one like him. He's wonderful. I'm in admiration of him. He's the counsellor. At this present trial, he's leading me on with such skill. He works all things out for my good. He's the mighty God. How he supports me. He's the everlasting Father. We think there of the Son. All that quality, how he, like a father, deals with us. He's the Prince of Peace. Peace I leave with you. The Prince of Peace. You know, often as I have thought of those words from Jesus, peace I leave with you, joy has also begun to fill my heart. Oh, as we think of this book before us, and as we consider the Lord, as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ, have we not known joy? Perhaps there's someone listening on. You're interested in spiritual things at this time because of the crisis in this country, but you don't know the joy. Oh, that the Lord would open your eyes as you read the word, that you would know the joy, that you would be able to say with the psalmist, for thy law is my delight, because it tells me of God. And I pray one day you'll be able to say, it tells me of my Saviour. Secondly, it tells me the gospel. It tells me the gospel. All those precious words in Luke 2 verse 10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. You know, many hear those words in December, but many of them don't know the joy. The joy of those words, the joy of the gospel. Oh, it is a joy, isn't it? And all this book tells us the gospel. And therefore it's a delight to us, isn't it? In Proverbs 25, verse 25, we read, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. All this good news, the good news of Jesus Christ, who came into the world to give his life, to go all the way to the cross. It's good news, because through him, one can be forgiven all their sins. One can be accepted and found on the pathway to heaven. Oh, what good news it is. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country, the news from heaven. It lifts the soul. It brings joy within. Does the gospel at this moment lift your soul? Oh, just consider him who went all the way to the cross. Thirdly, as we think of the words, and it's our delight, it is because it was used in my salvation. Romans 10 verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How the Lord so often uses his word. In 1 Peter 1 verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for ever. And you see how the Lord uses his word. The word is used by the Holy Spirit. One is found with life within. One is found believing in Jesus. Oh, how precious is this book. It tells me of Jesus. It tells me the gospel. It tells me that whosoever believeth shall be saved, and through grace and through the Holy Spirit I have been led to believe in Jesus. Oh, this book is my delight. Moving on. Fourthly, this book is my delight because it directs me in the darkness of affliction. Oh, we face such a trial at this present time. There's so much sorrow in this country. We feel the darkness, and we walk in the darkness of affliction, as we note in Isaiah 50, verse 10. But this book guides us. Turn over the page to verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. It shows me where I'm to stand, and the way I'm to go. It leads me on in the darkness. Dear children, You like to have a torch. I like to have my torch. And you use the torch to see in the darkness. O dear child of God, have we not used this book that we might know the way to go in the darkness, looking unto the Lord? It's our delight, isn't it? Fifthly, it's a comfort to me in affliction, therefore it's my delight. Verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. My comfort, the Lord has used the word and I've been comforted. I've prayed, as we see in verse 76, that thy merciful kindness be for my comfort. And thou didst come and comfort my soul through the word. This is my comfort in my affliction. We need comfort. I need comfort. How God comforts us through his word. Oh, this book is my delight. Sixthly, it's my delight because it's an aid to assurance. Satan may whisper, is there really those marks of grace in your heart? Doubts may arise in the heart as well. One can be alarmed. Oh, the word of God is a help here to aid our assurance. And so we read in 1 John 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Rather than leaving the word of God to one side in a time of struggle, pick up the Bible, read it, because the Lord can so use it to be an aid to your assurance. And it is an aid, isn't it? You may be struggling, and you're reading, and you come across a verse, and it may be a verse that the Lord used a number of years ago when he was drawing you to himself. It may be a verse the Lord used when you were in great affliction. You cried out to him as a child. And the verse comes home to you again. And you say, yes, the Lord used that verse. I know I'm a Christian. Is not this book a delight to us? Because it has often been used as an aid to assurance. Well, it is our delight, isn't it? It is our delight because it aids us in assurance. The Puritan Thomas Watson wrote, the law of God contains in it our evidences for heaven. Dear child of God, if you struggle, turn to this book. For in this book is your evidences of for heaven. And this is not comfortable reading over our evidences. Well, on we could go. There's many reasons why the believers found delighting in this book. Here's our plea. For thy law is my delight. I found that joy. I found that delight. Therefore, O Lord, I know I am thine. Oh, let thy tender mercies come. Oh, the joy we find in the word. In Jeremiah 15, verse 16, we read, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word unto me was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You see there, Jeremiah, he found that joy and he knew he was the Lord's. The Lord had put that joy within his heart. Thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing in my heart. Listen to Thomas Watson again. By the beating of this pulse, we may judge whether there be spiritual life in us or no. David professes that God's law was his delight. He had his crown to delight in. He had his music to delight in. But the love he had to God's law did drown all other delights, as the joy of harvest and vintage exceeds the joy of gleaning. For thy law is my delight. I make this my plea, Lord. I am thine. Here's this mark of grace. Therefore, through thy grace, let thy tender mercies come unto me. And that brings us to our second and more brief point. A prayer for mercy. A prayer for mercy. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Now we note again that he desired life. Yes, he desired to be preserved at this present time, that he might continue to serve the Lord here upon earth. But particularly here, he's making a prayer for the revival of his soul. He feels the weakness. In Psalm 6, verse 2, we read, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed." He's weak. He feels weary. He knows the soul faints. Come with me to verse 81. "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." This fainting within, the darkness comes. In the darkness of affliction, he feels the fainting. He finds it hard to concentrate. The soul faint. He's weary. "Mine eyes fail for thy word." Verse 82. He feels so dry and parched spiritually, like a bottle in the smoke. Verse 83. He lacks a measure of comfort at this present time. And as he thinks of that comfort, it's a source of great help to his living. Verse 76, "Let I pray thee thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant." He lacks strength. He's struggling. Come with me to verse 25. "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." My soul cleaveth unto the dust. I feel so low. I feel my sin. I feel the burden of affliction. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. One may be sat in a chair, but their soul is on the ground. They feel so weary. What did the psalmist pray in verse 25? "Quicken thou me according to thy word." Quicken me. Here in verse 77, "Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live." Just going back to verse 25, the plea is to quicken me. Koryah is the Hebrew, and it means to revive, to live, to recover, to repair. Repair my heart, recover my heart, cause my heart to be revived, to live. He has spiritual life, but he feels so weak. Quicken me. Quicken my soul. Cause it to be revived, to live, to recover, to be repaired. I expect a number of you can identify with this at this present season of great affliction that is upon us in this country and in this world as the virus continues to spread. How many of the Lord's people have said they're struggling? And I expect you have. You may have not said it to others, but at least you feel it within. You're struggling. I feel so weak. Oh, quicken me. Enliven me. Revive me. Stir the graces. We hear the psalmist. He desires this help, this reviving. And we desire increase. Do not we desire this strengthening? We pray for mercy. What does the psalmist pray? "Let thy tender mercies come unto me." First of all, let thy tender mercies. Let them be gracious, be merciful. Let thy tender mercies come, Lord. Let thy tender mercies open further that vast reserve of thy mercy, and let it flow towards me. Let thy tender mercies, the Lord's compassion, at the root of the Hebrew word, it speaks of the womb, the bowels, the compassion from there, the tender love, tender, it's so great, thy tender mercies. Oh, we think of the mercy of God. He is a God of mercy and of great love, and his mercy is seen as special towards his people. Dear brothers and sisters, you are in the family. There is the marks of grace, as we have seen. He has such pity towards you. How precious are those words in Psalm 103, verse 17. They've often warmed the soul, brought comfort within, helped in trial, and brought joy in a season of sorrow. Psalm 103, verse 17. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Verse 13, rather. And then verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Oh, the mercy of the Lord there. Oh, he's such a God of mercy, and his mercy is seen as special towards you, the child of God. We hear the psalmist praise, let thy tender mercies, let there be thy strengthening mercy. Let there be that supporting mercy, support my soul. Psalm 94 verse 18, when I said my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, help me up. We feel like we're slipping. The Lord comes along in his mercy and holds us up. Oh, let there be that reviving mercy, that favour, that I might be strengthened and supported, that I might know that increase of faith and love, that my hope might be more settled at this time on thee and thy word. Let thy tender mercies come. Oh, that I might live. Let them come. Let's focus on this again. Let them come unto me. Yes, we're taught in the pattern prayer to pray for others, and we do that out of a heart of compassion. But also we make a prayer, as we see here, for ourselves. For we know we need personal revival. We need that strengthening. We know that we need that strengthening ourselves. Let them come unto me, Lord. Deal with me, thou who hast access to my soul. Oh, may thy mercy come. Let thy mercies come through the Holy Spirit and through the word. Let me fill them. Let me experience thy mercies. Let my soul be warmed. I feel the coldness. Oh, let my soul be warmed. Let there be this quickening. You consider the night time when it's cold. I felt a bit cold last night. I was out on a walk up the hills and I felt the coldness come. Well, you consider a night time when it's cold. But then the morning comes and the sun arises. It may come over the hills or over some other horizon. The sun arises, the rays appear and sweep across the face and you feel the warmth. Oh, that God's tender mercies would come and sweep across my soul, that I would feel a warming within, that there would be that strengthening. In Psalm 138, verse 3, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Oh, let thy tender mercies sweep across my soul. I need thy tender mercies for my body. I need thy tender mercies, rather, for my body and for my soul. That I might know strength in my soul. Oh, that there be an increase, a reviving. Oh, Lord, let it come. Do not be long. Oh, I long for thy tender mercies to quickly come and sweep across my soul. That I might live. Lord, I delight in thy word. Take note of that mark of grace. I belong to thee, Lord. Oh, in thy favour, let thy tender mercies now sweep across my soul, that I am helped for another day, that I might be able to focus on thee and thy word, that I again might know comfort and joy as I journey on. Let it come, Lord. Listen to Spurgeon again. Surely this is a plea which will prevail with God, however bitter our griefs may be. If we still delight in the Lord, he cannot let us die. He must and will cast a tender look upon us and comfort our hearts. Dear child of God, there is a welcome at the throne of grace for you this night. Make your plea and then wait for the blessing to come. And you remember this, as we saw in Micah, the Lord delights in mercy. He delighteth in mercy. I can assure you, dear child of God, his tender mercies will again sweep across your soul, and your soul will be warmed, your soul will be lifted, and you will be helped to go on. May the Lord help us for his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, we would make our plea. We do delight in thy word. We have known that delight. O Lord, we do belong to thee. O Lord, now we make our request. Lord, let thy tender mercies come. Let thy tender mercies come to my soul. Let them come to the heart of everyone in this congregation, in their homes tonight, and in other congregations, both the young and the old, we pray. May we know that lifting up of the soul. May we know that warmth within, we pray, at this time. O Lord, hear our prayer. Bless the prayers of thy people in their homes today. Draw near to them. Give them that strength. O Lord, though at times we may struggle in prayer, do strengthen us within, we pray. We would remember those in particular need at this time. We do pray for John Lowry, be with him, O Lord, and Sylvia. Draw alongside them, and may they know the comfort and help that comes from thee, we pray. Others who are struggling, who feel the loneliness, O Lord, be with them at this time. Be with the widows in our congregation, those of us that are married. We pray for ourselves. We pray for the families, the young people, the children. We commit them all to thee at this time. O Lord, help us to pray. O gracious God, we know there is a welcome at the throne of grace. Help us as we draw near further to the throne of grace. May we know the comfort, and may we obtain mercy. We look to thee in these days. We pray for thy blessing to further come upon us here at Ipsley. Oh, may revival come, O Lord, and to the church as a whole in this nation, to other congregations, we pray. We pray that wisdom will be given to our Prime Minister and the government. We pray it will not be too long before the doors are open of the churches and chapels again. Give wisdom, we pray. We pray for those in the congregation and many others working in the NHS we know of. Oh, we pray for them at this time. Those who are suffering, those we know of who are suffering through the virus, we commit them unto thee. O Lord, hear our prayer. We thank thee again for our beloved Saviour. May we know the peace in view of him at this present time, this evening hour. Hear us, O God. Forgive us our sins. And Lord, our heart's desire is that thou wouldst be magnified in this time of prayer. who is for Christ's sake. Amen. At this time now, we can turn to the points of prayer. Many things to pray for. May the Lord bless you and help you in this time of prayer in your own homes. Be assured of my love and thoughts for you. And I look forward to when we can meet together again and worship the Lord as a people in this place. Our final praise is Psalm number 1. The tune is Graffenberg. We're singing the whole of the psalm, that man have perfect blessedness who walketh not astray. Of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.